So such men, they know when they see opportunists, they don't listen to them. You know, I keep on telling you, I am never impressed when somebody tells me that I went to meet this man to help me and he didn't answer me. Me, I'm never impressed. Like, don't mind, the man is very stingy. In my mind, you are very foolish. You think he was created to be helping you? You understand my point? If the man was going around behaving, allowing himself to be taken advantage of by every opportunity, he wouldn't have gotten to the place where you would get to him and be asking him for things. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say here. There's a principle I'm talking about here, that what God will do is to start something small and then bless it. There's a word of blessing starts. We said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. So we're talking about the seed. The man starts, he buys two okadas. He says, hey, who if you ride okada here? Two boys appear. He said, this is my okada. My own is serious business. I ride okada scientifically. So all of you will be trained. They'll be looking at him like, give us. And they say, no. This is highway code. You will do tests on highway code after studying for 1 week. He gives you two crash helmets and said, these okadas are different. It starts like a joke. Say, don't mind that okadaself. Your own things. Now, so, you understand what I'm saying? He puts a little bit of difference. Everything he's doing. You know that his own okadas, they have two crash helmets. One for the rider and one for the passenger. And his okada boys, they know the traffic rules. It's like a joke. Okada champion, they will call him. You know, you go to church, they will call him Okada champion. How now? No, not so lively. By the end of the year, he has 15. So he buys three buses. Hire purchase. But they are his buses. The following year, he goes to Poji and says, why don't you guys give me like 10 experts? How much money do you have? Can I quickly calculate? By the way, he had made a friend with a bank manager who has seen that this guy is good. So they lend him money. That's it. The bank pays for the buses, they deliver it to him. Look, there's a spirit. It is not a matter of whether climate is good or bad. There is a spirit that is forcing him to prosper. 10 years down the line, Okada champion, how now? They finally starts his own airline, Champions Airline. You don't know where the word came from. It's from the Okada champion. They were calling him in church 10 years ago. But he started as what? An Okada champion. Little guy. But God says, if he never bought those Okadas, now so he could grumble like everybody else. Country is bad. I'm bringing out the point that the Davids, they still face the Goliaths and they still kill them. The real things that God wants to do, listen to me. He said, there's something I've been trying to say all this while, which let me see what I can get it out today. Because the main problem in life is what motivates people. Don't forget this. Life is very, 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 very spiritual. Listen to me. This might sound funny. But the proof that life is spiritual is that men can enter the occult and make money. That will tell you that there is a spiritual force that they are tapping into. It's a wrong angle, but it works. It has its own repercussions, but it shows you that there's something there. Do you understand the point I'm making here? And listen, God has done the proper one. The difference between the proper and the evil one is always the same thing. Jesus was there. Satan came and said, jump. You get all the glory, sharp, sharp. He said, bow. And worship me, and I'll give you all of this instantly. Jesus said, no, a man must pass through the cross to get to the glory. You understand my point? All this shortcut of bowing to wrong forces is the reason why your glory will never last. That eventually, after everything, you'll be cast down. He said, I saw Satan cast down from heaven. That's the way it will always end. But the one that goes through the cross, you understand my point? Difficult times, challenges, trials. Do you know what the Bible calls oppositions of adversaries? And then he comes out on top. He comes out tough. It's not just a physical thing. I've realized this thing. These are spiritual things. It's built without you being conscious of that fact. You know, some of us, when we want muscles, we go to the gym, we'll be sweating. I notice all the boys who carry cement, they don't think about whether the muscle is built. They just carry their cement. But when you see that guy's sinews, man, you go bow, say, man, something did. You understand what I'm trying to say? No, the man doesn't try, but he has developed the strength. It's all the ones who have what I call cosmetic muscles. You know what I mean? Cosmetic. It's built just for the looks. That the ones that will be weighing, be measuring the biceps in the morning and checking what. No. The man who is doing the muscle work for life's sake, you know, get that kind of time. But the muscles respond anyway. Do you get my point? That's why, look, all these take two steps to do this. That's why I'm not impressed by them. The real steps are taken without you being conscious or the fact that you are taking steps. In the same manner, when you are building spiritual energy, you're not even trying to build. You're just doing the things that brings forth spiritual energy. You get my point. So this is those tough time things in life that a man goes through, You know, he's there. The people have no, you know, it's an aura in him. He just starts pulling things in his direction. The man has generated those spiritual forces by just doing the right things. So, Satan says, bow. He says, I'm not going to bow. That is not the proper way. There is a proper way. I told you that I heard the story, and I believe it very much, of men within this our geographical location, who the way they make money is to submit their wives to some principalities and powers and evil spirits in high places who call themselves human beings. When I heard that, I understood that this is the way life is. The devil has placed those guys in places to disseminate some kinds of evil spirits into the air. Now, I'm telling you what I'm saying. It's very, very true. You know, because if you read Rick Joyner, when he described even the principle behind entertainment, you will know that all of you have to get up if it is entertainment that is in your spirit and start doing the work of God. Otherwise, evil spirits will sit down there and be feeding your children with nonsense. Are you getting my point? God doesn't just cast people away. He always replaces them. Until the children of Israel were ready to take over the promised land, God did not deal with the Amalekites, did not deal with the Amorites, he didn't deal with any one of those people. He left them there. Until the children of Israel were ready, they now say, see, I will drive them out so that I can bring you in. You get my point? You can complain all you want. God is not going to close Hollywood down. Do you understand my point? They can, look, you know, the rating can change. That what used to be X-rated will now be PG. I say, God, where are you? God say, I'm here. I've never changed position. It's you I'm worried about. Do you understand my point? That these men have to be ready to take kingdoms. That's what we are saying. But we say, how does it start? It must start small. Okay, I was explaining something about those spiritual forces and all that. You know, I said I wanted to explain some points. Let me just quickly say it. I said that the spiritual forces you have decides how things come to you or they leave you. You understand? Now, when we're talking about people not being afraid, one of the reasons why people become afraid, really, is the reason why they started in the first place. Do you understand my point? Let me explain what I'm saying. Very, very simple, not a complicated, it's not a scientific, it's just a small thing. If I left my house and it starts raining heavily, heavily, you know, whether I will turn back or not depends on why I left. If I left to go and pick my son in school, the rain can fall all at once, I'm going. Because the boy is small, I can't leave him in school. The rain can beat, I will find a way and get to where I'm going. That is a fact. I will get there. But if I said that, Kingsley and I were supposed to go and eat pepper soup, see this rain now. I'll just turn back on phone and say, Kingsley, how far now? I said, Pastor, the rain, no. He said, me too, I noticed. So, today your side, today here. Now, go shift town now. Say, yes. You know why? It was pepper soup that started it. So, it's not an issue. No, this is a fact. You understand the point? In the same way, there's a spiritual thing I'm trying to use that to explain. The thing that motivates a man in life really determines whether he will go far or he will not. You know, we talk about the stirring of the spirit the other time, that God stirring up your spirit to begin to do things. Now, there are many things that can stir your spirit to do things. One of them, very common, is envy and jealousy. Everybody is doing it. All my friends have started this business. They're all driving cars. You know, my good example is how business centers proliferated, internet cafes, you know, the way they proliferated. But you know now, they virtually all closed down or slowed down to a halt. You know, I remember there was one example I gave here one day. Everybody was laughing afterwards. When I said cyber cafe, cyber cafe, cyber cafe, then suddenly cyber cafe. That's how the speed went down. So that in Enugu right now, about the only place I know that you can comfortably and predictably use the internet is AfriHub on campus. So you go there, you meet everybody from professors to secondary school boys. It's not a problem to get a seat. But there were many in town before. Why did they all close? What motivated them was different. Quick cash, quick cash, quick cash. This thing makes money. You know, if you just pay for a bandwidth like this, you do the internet. They told all the stories. International call, international call. Now, we can make international calls from the comfort of our homes for very, very, very low prices. Therefore, we don't get up to go to the cyber cafes to go and make international calls. Therefore, revenue dropped. Men who were motivated purely by greed, They pulled out. But those who wanted to plant something, they kept on waxing greater. Now, this is the way it works. Eventually, I told you, wealth, that's how God does it too. It's a reward. It's not skillful labor. It's a reward. A man who does something that's not making plenty of money, you know, remember, in fact, let me use this example that I used before. I think I'll just continue using that example. That's the one I said earlier about Mary Kay Ash. I said something last week, which till now I have not yet confirmed. I'm not sure whether it's true or it's just a misquotation of somebody. Now, the woman was very wealthy. So what I quoted last time was $3 billion that they said she had. It was not even the value of her company. Do you know, after I observed the way they ran that company, I said, how did somebody like this make so much money from that company, you would think? It was not possible. And I began to remember, oh, no, it's not so. Like the story I told that was producing $100,000 a month. She was already eating and was full. Her children were grown. She was an established middle-aged woman before that wealth began to come into her life. Do you understand what the point I'm making here? That it was possible for her to become so wealthy, but not from the thing that you can see. Don't forget what I said before. There are people who will open schools, ordinary primary school or secondary school. That is, you look at the school, they are just managing to break even. It's a big school. There are a lot of students, but the teachers are well paid. So all the tuition and everything they put together at the end of the year, you put it together. If that man sells that school and invests the money in the stock market or puts in a savings account, he'll probably earn more money. But he won't do that. Do you know why? Because there is something that stirred up his spirit to do it. It wasn't money. It was not greed. But God looks at it and says, see this man, watch it. I will give him the largest poultry in West Africa. And the reason why the chicken won't die is because the children are going to school in his school. That's the only reason. These are spiritual things. So bird flu, we flew over everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And it will be remarkable that for the size of the poultry he has, the bird flu did not flew down to him. You understand my English there? But what is keeping him is not the... You will get there and see veterinarians. They are there. Oh, the guy buys good feeds. It's true. But remember one thing you told me once, Kingsley. Maybe you won't remember. You said that you were meditating and thinking that, okay, why should a man lock if God is protecting him? And then the scripture came to your mind, except the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. That is, they still had watchmen. Doesn't mean the Lord was not guarding the city. Do you get the point? So, you see, the man has veterinarians, but it is not because of them that there is health. But except the Lord gives the chicken health, the veterinarians are skilled in vain. Don't ever forget what I said. God always requires an excuse to bless. I don't mean that your faith in Jesus Christ is not enough. No, that's not what I'm saying. I am saying faith. The Bible says until it is physically manifested, which James calls perfection by works, then the faith is dead. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, God says, I know you have faith, but that faith must be manifested in the physical realm for me to see it as real. He said, then I put your faith and your works together, they become my excuse to bless you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, the school is running very smoothly. He's sustaining the school with a passion and with his prayers. Of course, those two go together. Prayer that is not initiated by passion, they don't have much weight. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer, that word fervent means heartfelt prayer of a righteous man avails much. That is why it's not the biggest man of God that you need. When you need somebody to join hands with you, you need a man or a woman who loves you and is touched by the feeling of your infirmities and believes in the same God. Then that joining is more powerful than all the men of God put together. You are getting the point I'm making here? So the man is sustaining it with prayer and passion. So you think it keeps going. And God says, because of this thing that you have done, therefore, I will bless you. You are following my point? So let me get back to what I was saying. So what stirs somebody up to do something, listen, counts to a large extent. I mean, it accounts for a lot of his staying power. That God will say, look, Should we endue this man with grace or not? Don't ever forget that. Look, these are horses that God ride on. It is not as if those things themselves are the issue. No. They are the cause that the Lord will sit on to ride into Jerusalem. You are getting what I'm going to say here? That is maybe the passion of his heart. God said, okay, let us ride that one into Jerusalem. You are getting what I'm saying? So, the man begins to do something. And God looks at it that what is stirring this man's spirit is not jealousy. It's not envy. It's not everybody is doing it. It's not everybody is making money. It's a desire to make an impact in his generation. Do you get my point? So the man is skilled in a particular area. He has a passion in a particular area. And despite the fact that everybody says this doesn't make money, Jesus said, the zeal of thy house has consumed me. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, the zeal to have that thing done is pushing the man on. His spirit is stirred by the deposit of the spirit of God when he was conceived by God. That's what is stirring his spirit, not that everybody is doing it. So all the cyber cafes started because they wanted money. They all closed like that. I told you, things that spring up quickly, they also die quickly. Now so, you are getting my point? But let me get back to my message. Let me not forget. What am I talking about? The fact that they still slaughter Goliaths. Don't ever forget that. So the man starts with the stain of his spirit, whichever level he can start. Somebody called me the other day. We talked for some time. And I like the discussion we had. Because, like I told him, that a lot of times I'm asked questions, I use my own experience, you understand, to reply. Don't forget, Kingsley, I made you a promise. I was still, that's how to find a wife. You know, all those guys who are interested, I will announce ahead of time before. And ladies, okay, how to say yes or no, all of them put together. That is not how, you know, is no, yes is yes. You know what I'm saying? There's no special way of saying yes or no more than the answer is yes, the answer is no. I mean that how to decide whether, you know, we'll talk about it one day. I'm not done or doing it, but just that the things that a man's hands have handled concerning the word of life, the same I deliver unto you. You understand that? So anyway, the guy and I, we talked, and he was telling me something about ministry work that he's doing and all that, and I said, okay. Well, he said that he felt like he's supposed to do something similar, maybe not a copy of what I do, but as if we had the same kind of direction in life. So it was good for me to tell him my story. But one of the things I told him, I said, listen, you have a calling in an area. You don't wait for it to be big. Don't forget what I used to do. I told the story before. No, like an egg would say, they open a door, a crack, I shove my foot into it. Who we teach? That he always volunteered. Now, for me also, it was the same thing. Everywhere he gave me opportunity to preach, I preached. If he did not give me opportunity, I preached. And then anywhere we started gathered together, I spoke. The thing was inside me. I always poured it out. When nobody would listen, I would preach to the birds of the air. They couldn't complain. I would take a stroll and start talking. No, that's a fact. And when I got married, the Lord was good. I mean, that was my one-man congregation, a one-woman congregation. Even before we got married, anytime we see, now like, come, I want to share something with you. No, she still has some letters. I wrote 22 page letters. First half of the first page is, how you doing now? Long time no see. There's something I want to share with you. And there's one book I wrote. It's not yet published. It was a letter to my wife. Life, a Product of Choices. It was a sermon I just wrote, sent to my wife. It's a whole book. I'm telling you. I'm not joking about that. I've written it. I can show you it here on my system. You understand? The one who finally said, this Kingdom World Ministries, what did I do? I just printed tracts. Then, but before we took a small break, because other activities took our efforts and our time and all that, we had printed about 50,000 copies. You've seen those tracts. You understand? Just kept printing and giving them out. The day I was glad in my heart was one day I was driving in front of my... No, I was waiting for my gates to open so I could drive in. And the man was walking past with a copy of A Prayer for Your Healing in his hands. So I called him and said, sir, where did you get that from? He said, I was walking on the road. Some people were doing evangelism. They gave it to me. I said, where? I didn't know anybody around that area. But I said, let me help you fold it properly. It's not well folded. He said, okay, do you want it? I said, no, I don't want it. I just want to help you fold it. I wrote it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I carried it from the press myself. So, I mean, that's the way it starts. I mean, I was just writing tracts. Do you get my point? I mean, like that, things start going from one step to another. And I'm happy for those of you who are here, you will be witnesses of where it will get to. Do you understand the point I'm making here? And listen, it's not only ministry. That's the point I'm coming to. It's also in pure water, from pure water to the next Coca-Cola International. You get what I'm saying? And don't forget, my message today is the fact that your David will slaughter Goliath. You get my point? Coca-Cola cannot intimidate you. If you are going to make soft drinks, Coca-Cola would beg for your territory. Say, give us small market share now. You say, this one, you people have had enough for hundreds of years. It's my turn now. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, Julius Berger is there constructing. They are a good company. They build very well. They build very, very well. Don't start competing with Julius Berger. Make your own David. The day David will finally face Goliath, Goliath will not know that this David had chopped something. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That this David had engulfed a matter that is beyond the Goliath. But he wouldn't know. What was David doing? Doing shepherd work when nobody was there. He was already defending sheep. Then one day God opens the door. That God opened his door for David. And in your case, he will open the door one day and then the opportunity will come. Remember, David was not preparing for Goliath. He was just living a normal life. You know, I was reading this story the other day about this guy of Global Fleet. How he outbidded, I think, was Zenith. Can you believe that one young man outbidded Zenith for Nikon? Nikon Insurance. I think Nikon Insurance. Yes. Zenith wanted to buy it. They put down their bid. The guy put down his bid, which was more than double that of Zenith. But that government had no choice but to sell to him. Now he's the MD/CEO of one of the biggest insurance companies in Nigeria. He said, how did you do it? He said, well, I just valued the company. We thought it was worth this amount of money. And we decided to go for it. And we asked some banks to come together. They brought the money and we went ahead. And then David ate up the Goliath. That was the end of it. You are getting my point. What I'm preaching today, which I want to end with, I don't know what I think I've said, maybe I want to say, is for you to understand that what God is doing in your life is going to start small. But don't ever despise, like we say, the days of small beginnings. You have a dream of university, I know. God says, well, since good enough, I've given you a bachelor's in education. Very good. So, your own shall be WAEC lectures. Start from there. For those who find it hard to pass WAEC, but just ensure that even the Federal Ministry of Education will soon know that your center is one of the best centers. No cheating. And God knows how to broadcast your news abroad. You don't have to try. One of the mistakes you make in life is to go and try to tell people, see our record, we are the best. All those things are not necessary. I've seen people who do it. You know, we are the ones that do this. You talk. People are tired of hearing you talk about yourself. I like what the Wale Oke said once. He said, those that do things that really count, don't stop to count them. Just do things that count. One day God will announce you. And listen, the main problem I said earlier is that motivation. What is tearing up a lot of people's spirits is the desire to make money. Schools are opening. So schools open. You get there? When my son started going to school, when I was earning school fees, I told my wife that there's no way I'm going to pay that amount in school fees. It's not because I can't afford it, but I think it's ridiculous. I want to send a child to go to school, go and play. You know, as a fact, that most of what this boy will learn, he will learn in this house. No, it's true. No, that's not a joke. Just that my wife's not been around for the last few weeks. Everything I can really know, as far as I'm concerned, his mother taught him. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not saying they don't teach it. For me, his school now play group. Go and learn songs, interact. You understand my point? That is it. No, it's a fact. It is a fact. I told my wife that you didn't drop out from working in UBA for me to start paying exorbitant fees to have a 2-year-old child play. What is his mother doing? That is why she doesn't wake up at 7 a.m. in the morning and come back at 10 p.m. You understand what I'm trying to say? No, it's true. No, it's true. I'm bringing up the point because people say sometimes everybody wants to make money overnight. Look, some of the prices were ridiculous. I just read it is not because you guys can't run this thing without charging this amount of money. It's because you feel like you must make a lot of money from this thing. I'm not cursing it, but most such things don't go far. Listen, we have enough examples in life to learn from. You've heard me tell stories and you have read it yourself about Ford, Henry Ford. That guy's story, we can't ever stop telling it. And it's not the only one. There are many people like that. They will tell you, we started doing this not because we're trying to look for money, but we realize that this thing must be done. It just must be done. By the end of the day, they had much more money than those who were doing it purely for money. Because wealth is what? A reward. That is what God does. When your heart is not stirred up by personal gain, by, you know, the quest for vain glory. There's one man, I won't mention his name. Everything he does, none of them, anything that's in vogue, he does it. I mentioned names, some of you might know him. It's not this area anyways, but not too far from this area. If they say tomorrow, we are starting private refineries, he's in there. But none of them that he has done has ever worked properly. Why? Because there's no passion for any of the things he's doing. He's not trying to affect anybody. He's just trying to look for more avenues to collect money. And that's why those things don't work. What I'm saying is this. That one that God wants to release into life through your hands, it will start small. The man who will bring Julius Berger to his proper place in God's plan, you know what I'm going to say, by defeating them, is today all he's doing is constructing culverts in front of people's houses. Then from there, he builds a house. From there, he builds an estate. From there, he builds a small bridge. Then one day, people realize that, why is Julius Berger charging us like this? This guy can do the same thing. Eh? Then they try him out. And that is the day David swallows up Goliath. You are getting my point. Let me just add this to it before I close. Whatever you do, no matter how little, do it very well. Did you hear what I said? Whatever it is you are doing, no matter how little it is, do it very well. One day I told somebody that when we were preaching for radio, that most of the time I preach to Christy alone, the person shouted, and you sound like you are preaching to a multitude. I said, okay, you haven't seen when I preach to nobody. The person, I can't remember who, and I said, I said, yes, most of those, you've heard, yes, most of them, Kingsley is the only audience. I said, what? I said, yes. In my heart, I'm seeing the whole world listening anyway. You get my point. I remember this place where we are now, this small place where we all are. I will drive 250 kilometers back in a hurry. I am aware that the total number of people that will be here that day, minus my wife and my brother, are not going to be up to 3. That is, if you add my wife and my brother to it, a lot of times there are 4. Please don't count Akinolu. It's not good. It was a minus, not a plus. Used to distract his mother. But you think next Saturday I'll say that? After how many people am I? No, God is my witness. I say that boldly. I'm not lying about it. It has never crossed my mind that I would change my mind because there's not 3 people that are coming there. From 3 people coming there, do you know how many thousands don't miss our broadcast on Mondays now? Hardly a week passes by and another person won't discover Pastor Banky. You know what I mean? I just discover. Where is Yinka of Bottom Line? He's not around. Okay. The day Yinka's friend, what is his name now? That young man, what is Yinka's friend? Anyway, one of his friends came from, I think, Benue or Kogi that day. The guy was going back when Yinka said, please, I want to drop something for somebody. He said, one pastor in my church, Pastor Banky. The boy, young man shouted, what? The guy suspended his journey to come and meet Pastor Banky. Why? Because all the way from Benue or Kogi, they don't miss Mondays at 8:30. So to him, it was a privilege. And that day, he met my wife. He said, yes, he's going to go back home and tell them that not only did he meet Pastor Banky, he shook his wife also. So that woman he talks about, that all of you only hear on radio. She gave me Coke. I drank it. He said he wanted to take a drink that day so that it would be on record that he drank in my house. It wasn't... You are getting my point. You understand what I'm trying to say? The big thing that God wants to do in your life is to start small. Listen, it will start small. You know, one day one man was telling us a story about one man of God who started a church in Benin. And one day he came to him and said that he's going. He said, why? He's going to Lagos. Why are you leaving now? He said, what he saw. Not these vision people. Vision without knowledge and understanding. It can kill a man. He said, what he saw, it was bigger than what he's seeing right now. The man said, he looked at him. The guy wouldn't be persuaded. He shook his head that this guy is just about to walk away from destiny because it is small. He said, things that God show you, they are big and they are at the end, not at the beginning like this. So you are even lucky, or you know what I mean by lucky, when God doesn't tell you anything, you just do as occasion serves you. You get my point? You know, I told you that me, it's only a few times in life I've dreamt. Serious dreams. I have a few. You know, I never, look, people dream that they married, they didn't marry. The first time I dreamt about my wife, it was a vivid dream. She was standing in front of me. Right there. That was the initiation into where we are today. Those who dream, I'm not. It's good for them. No, I have friends that they blink twice, they see two visions. And they are not lying, they're telling the truth. But I'm privileged I don't see any of such things. I just do as occasion serves me. I saw a woman, I liked her. Can I talk to you? And we talk small, we gel. I go see you again. You know, it is those who saw vision that will be going around in circles like, the Lord, how do I break? How do I talk? That one, I didn't see any vision. I just saw a woman and I liked her. You understand what I'm saying? So it was easy for me to be free. And if she said no, well, co-work, no, that is, it didn't work. Now go ahead, so I have not offended God. No, I've seen people told me that this sister doesn't want to agree, but God spoke to me. Is you're on your own? You're on your own. That God was speaking to him. The lady heard the voice of another God and married somebody else. I'm telling you. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, it will start small. That great vision that God has given you, you will get there one day. Do you understand my point? You will most certainly get there. But God starts that as a small seed. What he's saying is, I have given you a small seed, plant it. Do you understand my point? I have given you a small idea, activate it. I have given you something small. Look, have a great vision, but it will start small. Like my friend there who's going to very one day be challenging M&B and driving away Nymeth. I mean, it's a small vision of one or two preparations. That's the way it starts. But the vision is big. Very soon, the whole world. Let's end with that scripture again. It's very, very important we read it. It said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Are you seeing that? And this is smaller than all other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree. So that every man from everywhere, from different countries, will come and nest in his branches. That's when you become an employer. That's when you start fixing salaries. Do you get my point? That's when people will now realize that, they say, you say you know Pastor Banky. Yes, Pastor Banky, if you talk anything Pastor Banky tells him to do, he's like Mary and Jesus Christ. He can't tell her no. So that's when I'll have to have too many phone lines to hide from people who want to take job from you and feel they should call me first. I've told you, please, I'm closing now, that I'm a connected man. You've heard me say that again and again. I'm too connected. How do I know? I know the men and the women of the future. Not those who are passing away. The kings of tomorrow, when I'm coming to their palaces, it's honored that Pastor Banky is coming. There is no boardroom. Then I want to enter. They'll say there's a meeting. MD is busy. MD will sack you for stopping me. So how can you tell Pastor Banky to wait? Don't you know he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek? Oh, the Lord is good. All right, let us pray. The Lord is good. It's like...
Hallelujah.